Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the world's allegedly least corrupt country in the world, because they allow you to voluntarily admit whether or not you're corrupt. You love that stuff, man. Oh my God. Oh, this country is descending into darkness. Really. In a bad way. And speaking of the man, he knows about the darkness and the bad ways it goes about its business. Daniel Ryder, welcome to the program.
How's it going, Vinny?
Somewhat fabulous, mate. We're trying to get a little bit of information out of you because often you're known as a child, youth and family services activist who's helping people to get their children back, who's helping to expose pedophiles and meth dealing. And now you've basically... You've one-upped yourself. Could you fill in the listeners and myself as well?
Okay, about a year ago, I got approached by a guy, Alan Barlow, from Invercargill. He asked me to kill his parents. $150,000 he offered me, or could I find someone to do it? I was quite stunned and shocked at this stage. He approached me on Facebook to start off with, and I thought, hold on, I'm an activist, I'm not a murderer. And I played him along a wee bit, sort of thought, well, I've got to find out why the reason is he wants to kill his parents, everything else. Well, it came out light that they were convicted pedophiles, both of them, the parents and the son. And I thought, well, there's more to it than this. And played him along a bit. And he carried on, kept going back to killing his parents and offering me the money. I thought to myself, this ain't right. The guy's serious. And I thought to myself, I've got to do something about this. Even though they're convicted pedophiles, I thought, well, I'll just contact the police and let it take its course that way. Well, the first officer I rang didn't want to know, couldn't care less. A couple of people died. It was down in Invercargill. The officer told me, don't worry about it, Dan, just leave it alone. They were idiots. I went, what? And that was at the watch house in Invercargill. That was on the 29th of the 8th, 2013, I rang there at 7:30 p.m. I was quite stunned. I thought, well, hold on a minute. How corrupt are our police? They're quite prepared to let a couple of people die here. And I thought, well, no. So I rang the Auckland police, who asked me to come in for an interview. Went in for an interview, and they sort of said to me, oh, we need to know if this is true or not. And I said, okay, I'll ring the guy. So I rang him. They said, come in. Make a meeting with him, Dan. I says, okay. So I made a meeting with him. 2 a.m. in the morning at McDonald's, 11th Ave, in Tauranga. Because he was staying in Tauranga at this stage. Well, he turned up with all the paperwork. I thought, well, shit, that's pretty bad. The police checked on him. He was there. So the cop said to me, he says, oh, Dan, we're going to put an undercover in. Well, this time they told me to go very quiet on Facebook and just, you know, keep my Facebook pages up and keep playing them along if he contacted me. Get a phone call not long ago by the police. Dan, you need to come to court. We've arrested Alan Barlow. I said, oh, what do you mean? And he says, we put an undercover cop in. He was called the Fix-It Man. And I said, oh, yeah. And they said, the sting went through. He met the cops in Huntley. And they video recorded everything. The plan was, he's drawn up plans of the house with a cross on the bedroom where the parents slept. Pretty much kill the parents, make it look like an accident. So I've spent last few days sitting in the court case, listening to this idiot, watching him, sitting on a stand, smiling his little heart out to the jury, sitting there lying, telling us, no, I wasn't wanting to kill them. I just wanted to scare them, and I wanted to take them to, more or less, he was doing it for the insurance money, for the house, and everything else. But it was a funny story, Vinny. I met him a few years ago. It was the first time I've ever met the guy. I only met him twice. And I met him when I was protesting, when I travelled around the country. And the last thing you'd think would be that he worked for Child, Youth and Family. He was a Child, Youth and Family security guard for Invercargill when I met him. And he says to me, he says, oh, I can let you know where all these unsafe houses are. And
Hold on a second. Let's back up the truck here. He was a convicted pedophile, and he was a Child, Youth and Family Services security guard.
Yes.
Just to make everybody feel extra safe.
Yeah. So you've got to really seriously think about this. You know, a pedophile, and he's a security guard. He's working at Child, Youth and Family. And here I am sitting there thinking, hold on. And at this stage, I didn't know he was a convicted pedophile when he was working for Child, Youth and Family. I played the security guard off when I was protesting, getting information out of him that we needed to uncover things like pedophiles in the system, pedophiles, safe houses, things like that, where they were keeping the children and having their devious little ways with them. And I thought to myself, that's good. We've got a security guard on the inside feeding us information. Unbeknown to me, he was a pedophile himself. And yet...
He probably saw the other pedos as competition, mate.
Yeah, well, then I looked at it and I thought, hold on. They always admit it that yes, half their staff are pedophiles. And now I'm actually starting to believe it because they're working there. They've got the security guards working there, looking after little kiddies. Who would ever look at it? A security guard, pedophile, sifs. And then I thought, definitely right. But then, when he asked you to be a hitman, it was sort of, that was pretty scary, so...
When you told me that, Dan, you know, I thought to myself, oh my God, this is the first job opportunity I've ever seen anybody offered because of activism.
Yes, well, I was actually quite stunned myself, thinking, Child, Youth and Family, they're trying to set me up. Their security guard's trying to set me up and have me done. Well, I hate to tell him, now he's rotting in jail, exactly where he belongs.
And how long is this whole drawn-out process been? Because as far as I know, this is... What was this, the first contract killing in New Zealand history conviction or something?
First contract ever in New Zealand's history for an undercover sting and a hired hitman. Pretty much. The cops have thanked me very, very much for bringing it to their attention that people were out there that work for Child, Youth and Family hiring hitmen to kill people. And I'm stunned.
And the police haven't chosen to investigate any further into other connections, or they just basically pinned the tail on the donkey and said, nah, that's our ass right there?
That's pretty much it, Vinny. They've just pinned the tail on the donkey and went, he's a security guard, and that's it. They didn't go back to he worked for Child, Youth and Family. They didn't want to know about that. It's just, you know, he's a security guard. Let's leave it at that.
Well, it's the same kind of principle to how police treat cannabis, you know. They think, hey, this is a really easy thing. all those people that are doing home invasions, rapes, murders, and all of that kind of stuff. Mate, those people are crazy. They might hurt me. They might get my own blood on my uniform if I go and bust them. But these little under 25-year-old little stoners over here who are non-violent and don't know their rights or anything, boom, feather in the cap, easy conviction, no problem. I'm going to be commissioner next year.
And that's exactly right, Vinny. But the worst thing you've got to look at here, isn't it under the National Party that, you know, they've, I remember about a year ago, Paula Bennett said, we vet our staff very well. We don't have any of these sort of people working for us. And yet again, Paula Bennett has failed our children because, yet again, we've uncovered another paedophile in the system. First, we uncover Maui Davis and Takapuna Sifts, drug dealing and criminal convictions against children. And then we find another one down the line, I think it was in Hastings, and now we've got a security guard that looks after children for them in the system. So my question is how many more of these guys are convicted paedophiles? Are they really vetting these people that are meant to be protecting our children? They're doing more damage to our children in New Zealand than they are anywhere. And if it's in New Zealand, what other countries has it done? We certainly know that when they get fired from New Zealand or they run off because they're going to get in trouble, they all go to Australia and England and the rest of the places. I've tracked many social workers that have jumped the country because we've been investigating them. So, to me, my question really is out there to the New Zealand public and the rest of the world, look at your social worker and you decide, are they a paedophile? Are they a criminal? Or do they have wet dreams over your children?
Well, it seems to me that that's what parents don't think. It's not the first thing you do, you know. Like, the first thing when you've been assaulted and you go to a cop, the first thing you ask the cop isn't, are you going to assault me because I'm reporting an assault? Even though that's what they do all the time.
Yeah.
You know? It's part of my core philosophy that everything an official does exactly the opposite of what they tell everybody that they do. And if you can't make it yourself with ingredients you can find in your own kitchen, then you're probably eating a soft kill by a weapon.
And that's the thing, Vinny. Because I remember, I think you may remember this, Vinny, I got beaten up a while back there by some gang members.
Who didn't realise that you used to be in the K1.
Yes, but the problem is, Vinny, I look at it now and I think to myself, hold on, here's a security guard hiring me from Child, Youth and Family to kill his parents. Okay. Did SIFs hire those guys to beat the shit out of me?
Did they make some phone calls?
Yes.
Are they connected? Is there by chance a relationship between them? Let's talk about it. Let's not call it SIFs. Let's call it a criminal pedophile globally connected crime syndicate. All right. Now, man, I actually summed that up pretty good, didn't I? Now,
yeah. I think 100% correct, actually.
I actually had a point that I was going to elaborate on, but I realised there's no point in elaborating on it because I've sussed it.
The thing to me is, it looks to me in New Zealand's government regime, it's still as many children as they can possibly do under the Quota Act that they hide behind, and then beat the shit out of the parents or try and do the parents in while they can have sexual fun with their children.
And of course, if the parents try to bring this out in a court or anything, they don't go to the High Court, they don't go to the District Court, they don't go to any court where there's a court or record, they go to the Family Court where there is literally no record allowed, including no media allowed of any kind. So let me get this straight.
Correct.
let me get this straight. We've got a criminal syndicate that steals people's children and whores them and hires them out and deals meth and all of this kind of thing. We're a vast chunk of their actual direct structure are either corrupt, having wet dreams over the children, or they're pedophiles themselves, or something of that nature. Or they're getting extra payoffs, or they're filling quotas and things like that. And it seems to me that the New Zealand public don't want to know this truth, okay? And I think for a very freaking good reason, simply to know that this is what reality is.
They don't want to know that it's reality in the New Zealand and in the world because, one, they're too scared that their children might get taken. But when their children do get taken and they come crying, it's normally too late because their child's normally been sexually molested, beaten up by a child youth and family, or a caregiver that the child youth and family have put them with. And then they go, oh, sorry, all parents in New Zealand should be standing up here because, one, sooner or later it's going to be their child. Sooner or later it's their child on the end of that social worker.
That's another thing that actually strikes me is why people don't wake up to this, because it didn't happen to you, did it? And you're not willing to sit back and listen and actually have the presence of mind and the empathy that it takes to actually know what it's like for a parent to know, not to think or to suspect, but to know that their child is being raped by the very people who you're supposed to go to for help with stuff like that.
And the corruption in that system is unbelievable. I've been bribed. Well, they've tried to bribe me. They tried to lock me down into a place where I couldn't talk. They've tried everything with me. Beaten me up, offered me money, hidden me away, locked me down into a secure location where no one was meant to know where I lived because of their syndicate. And I was not meant to protest. Bribed me with my child, or they'd take my child off me. Well, I just keep saying to them, come on, take me on any time you want, sis. I'm ready for the fight.
Well, speaking of the lack of curiosity of the general public, did the media try to interview about this case at all?
They tried to interview me. They didn't really want the full story. The media are there. They're reporting what they want to report. One radio New Zealand Live, as I said to them, he got what he deserved to rot in jail, but not one media has put up about his pedophilia charges earlier on. No, and I think only one media reported from it inside the courtrooms. There was one, which was Radio New Zealand Live, that he worked for Child, Youth and Family. The rest of them are all too chicken shit because they're all paid for by New Zealand government.
They're on the take.
Definitely on the take. And the worst thing I start to think is, are they actually there playing with our children too? Because anyone that's taking a bribe from our New Zealand government, what else is really going on out there?
She's a slippery slope, power and corruption. In fact, I was told by a prominent, you know, US freedom movement leader and stuff today, a wonderful quote by Thomas Jefferson. He was sent a message after they'd drafted the Constitution, and he said, thank God, Mr. Jefferson, finally we've got our republic in place, and how are we going to ensure that only good men get into parliament, get into government? And Jefferson laughed. He says, good men in government? Absolutely not. You know, it doesn't matter how good you are going in. What we need, and the reason why the Constitution is there, my dear fellow, is to tie and chain every single person in government down.
That's exactly correct. We have to hold our governments accountable for what they do. Because, one, how do any of us really know what a government official earns? Because they've got their little parliament cards. They've got a free car, all on us taxpayers. and everything else.
Yeah, and another, if they fill up at a Gull or a BP service station, they get Five Eyes points.
You got it. And you know what? You want to know how funny it is, Vinny? Okay, I'm sitting here, you know, solo dad, struggling away on a benefit, doing a bit of, you know, the odd lawn where I can make a wee bit of money, you know. And bugger me, I go to this court case, you know, pay for it out of my own pocket to go down and everything else, and stay in the hotel. They say, oh, we'll pay you petrol. Yeah, that's all sweet as. Don't really care about the money, you know, at least I know I've kept a couple more kids safe, got rid of one pedophile off the street and made it well aware of other people that there's a pedophile there and, a, you know, an attempted murderer that was trying to commit murder. But you sit there and you think to yourself, Wind's ringing me as soon as I get back. Mr. Ryder, what sort of job have you gone for this year? Have you had any job offers? And all I could say to her is, yes, I have had one job offer. $150,000. And she says, what? And I says, $150,000. But the trouble was, by the time I worked it out, Vinnie, and, you know, 30% on ACC levies, you know, pay 15% tax. Oh, sorry, 30% tax, 15% on ACC levies. And then through the 3 years, the 15 years jail, it's not bloody worth it, is it? To support our New Zealand government.
I mean, seriously, taking the 150K to be a hitman would have actually been a tax write-off, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I guess. I have to laugh at the whole thing, you know? Our whole system is a joke. They make the average family out there struggle.
How much are your ACC bills on hitmanery these days?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. I did ask the police officer, and he just laughed at me. But
is I'm just wondering,
would National like to comment, you know?
I mean, Key would know. He's an economic hitman, you know.
Yeah, he's a banker, so he should know how much I should pay.
Yeah, I mean, how much interest, you know, how much of the government's supposed to skim off the top, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, some people are going to work hard to murder it, you know? It's dirty work, you know? And quite frankly, I think there has to be some kind of compensation scheme, you know? Like maybe you can take holidays or something like that. Or if you give a certain amount to a political party, you don't have to pay the GST on it. Something, you know? There has to be some kind of compensation scheme. There are terrible, terrible conditions for pitmen out there, you know? And there's no union, rights or anything like that.
The worst thing that comes to mind here, Vinny, is, okay, it's the first case in New Zealand they say about, right? I don't believe that for one little bit, because our government kill people every day for a bit of money.
So, every day?
Every single day. Someone dies in New Zealand or in the world. Okay? And that's what you really got to look at here. Someone dies in the world every day because of money. Power and money. And it's all down to the governments. You know, you've got people starving to death because they won't give them a bit of money. You've got people getting bombed overseas at the moment and all dying, children included, because the government are so tight. And they want a bit of land. So everything evolves around that dollar sign. So really, I'm not the only hitman around. The government is as well.
Indeed you do. And it helps if you're headed by somebody who used to walk for Wall Street and, you know, knock over countries for their for all they're worth. Like Ireland, for example. Unfortunately, Dan, we've come to the end of this 25-minute segment here. I want to really thank you for your contribution today in this exclusive information-packed little interview we've got going on here. Ladies and gentlemen, you now know more than every single media reporter who was involved in that entire case for like a year. Okay? Do you understand that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you know why I keep doing this show? and living on the bones of my ass. You know why? Because people like Dan don't have a media to go to that will actually let them tell their frickin' full story. They don't. It doesn't exist. He who has the ability has the responsibility, as I've said many times. And if you want me to keep continuing on doing this, ladies and gentlemen, then please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and donate or subscribe today. Also, check out our great sponsors, the Blue Shield and the Gourmet Soap Kitchen and Wagga Wagga. I like saying Wagga Wagga. I really do. And also the High Tea Cafe in Portage Road, New Lynn as well. I think Jeanette Saxby is doing some Green Cross courses there during the week as well. You can check them out on Facebook too. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Dan. And we'll see you after the break, ladies and gentlemen.